Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Hello to everyone out there in my radio audience tonight. I am happy once again to be here. This is CEA Childhood Emotional Abuse 12-Step Spiritual-Based Counseling and Healing Platform. We are here again to help you, to talk to you. We've been away for over 2 weeks now, and today I decided that I need to come back on this platform and continue. You know, our discussion about CEA childhood emotional abuse. This is a serious problem in the world today. We have millions of people, millions of children that have been through CEA childhood emotional abuse and all kinds of forms of abuse. And we have adults today that have survived it and lived through it, and they have been victims of CEA. So this is a great, great problem all over the world. You know, like I always say, everybody have been abused. Everybody have been abused in some kind of way. That's what I know, that's what I believe, and that's what I can see. Everybody has been through some kind of physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. Okay, like I tell you guys all the time, I've been through every form of abuse that you can name. Every form of abuse that you can name. And this is why this CEA 12-step spiritual-based platform was created, to try to bring some awareness to this mass problem that we have all over the earth, and try to help some people to heal, because you have a lot of people in therapy and going through a lot of therapy to try to get help and talking to counselors and take medication. They're doing nothing to try to get some help with their emotional abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, or whatever form of abuse. They are going through so many different avenues and steps to try to get help. But as I always tell you, when I come on this broadcast, as I always tell you, that the only way that you really ever truly, truly gonna heal is that you make the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the real God, part of your healing. Okay? If you don't involve Him, God, the Father, the Creator, in your healing, then you won't get totally, totally, totally free from your nightmares, from your trauma, from your pain, from your depression, from your anxiety, from your bipolar. I mean, so many different forms of illnesses and sickness that you get from being abused. And if you don't put God in your healing process, you know, whether it's therapy, whether you, whatever you're trying to do to get healed, then you won't have 100% complete freedom from your childhood pain, hurt, and trauma. And that's why we have a lot of people today that's acting out of their abuse. They acting out of their abuse, they raping kids, they kidnapping kids, you know, They killing their own kids, their own mama, their own sisters, their own brothers, their own dad and their mom. Okay, this is been you acting out of the abuse. So we still have a lot of serious problems going on today with people not getting healed and people not getting recovered from their childhood emotional abuse and pain. So this is a 12-step spiritual base platform, okay? Everything that we do on this platform is going to connect you and involve God the Father, the Creator, to help us to not only get rid of the nightmares and the fears and the anxiety and the thoughts and the memories, but it will help us to live a life free of pain. Because we have a lot of people that's still in a lot of pain because they got raped or they got molested or they got child neglected by their parents or beat on by their parents or, you know, they somebody in their family member. So, yeah, you still have, we need to address these serious issues that's going on today in our world. It's very serious. It's very serious. Childhood emotional abuse is a very, very serious disease that we see so many millions of people going through this today. So this is Sister Radio Talk Show. We are the hosts of CEA Childhood Emotional Abuse 12-Step Spiritual Base Program. And this is the platform for that program. And the title of this, and this is broadcast number 7. This is broadcast number 7. So what that means is that we have made 7 broadcasts concerning this topic, CEA, Childhood Emotional Abuse. The title of this show tonight is Confronting the Abuser. Confronting the Abuser. Because I be on Facebook and I'm a part of a trauma childhood like abuse group, and you have so many people coming on there talking about how they've been abused, you know, by their mom and by their dad, and they wanted to kill their mom and they tried to kill their mom and their dad raped them and their brother raped them or their cousin and somebody beat them or their husband mistreated them. You got so many people in this world today that are hurting very, very bad. And they don't have no one to help them but a therapist and a psychologist. I had one man today come into the group, and he said that he's, you know, he married and he have 3 or 4 children, and you know, right now in his life he feel like he is losing it because, you know, he was so abused and so neglected by his parents growing up that it have destroyed his life. He feels so very destroyed. Okay, and he said he was in the midst of going to therapy to try to see if he could, you know, resolve all his feelings and depression and misery that he's feeling from him being abused when he was a little boy. So, you know, he said the therapy was, you know, kind of making things come back to his memory, and that's what the therapy do. I was in therapy. My abuse started when I was 3 years old. I was raped by my grandma. I was raped by my auntie. I was raped by my cousins, my uncle. All kind of abuse was in my household or in my family, because my family is full of incest. It's full of incest. And everybody in my family, my cousins and my aunties and my, you know, they have sex with each other. It's like a lot of incest. You know, my aunties have sex with their kids. You know, my grandma raped me when I was young, okay, 3, 5 years old, about 5 years old, okay? And I'm pretty sure her mama, my mama might have got raped by her or something, but she never told me nothing about that, okay? But my abuse started when I was about 3 years old with my mom taking me to my babysitter's house. They abused me and raped me. Male and females. So yes, I know a lot about abuse. I've been through all kind of abuse. Physical, mental, emotionally, okay, sexually, all forms of abuse I have been through. Okay, I have helped people. I have helped people that have been abused and molested and they feel suicidal. I am a survivor. I am a survivor today. I'm a victim, but I am a survivor. Why did I survive? Because God the Father, the Creator, He's the only one that helped me. He's the only one that made me feel so much better when I met Him at 30 years old. In my life was so messed up. I was so destroyed as a person. I was so messed up inside and out as a person at 30 years old. I didn't know if I was born or coming. I didn't want to live anymore. My life was so horrible. It was so hurting what I went through as a child. Okay? Everywhere I went, somebody was hurting me, whether it was at my home, whether it was at a neighbor house, whether it was at my cousin's house, whether it was at school. Everywhere I went, I never had no happiness. I never felt no love. I never felt nothing but pain. And I carried all of that pain. It started when I was 3 years old. My mom had taken me to babysitters because she was a drunk. Her and my dad was both alcoholics, and all she wanted to do is get drunk. She didn't care who was hurting me, who was doing things to me. It was all about her. It was never about protecting me and, you know, none of that. So I know what you are feeling. I know what you are going through. I know how you're feeling inside. You know, and I went through all of that pain and all that abuse all by myself. I didn't have no one to talk to. I had no one to comfort me. I had no one to tell me anything. All I had was God. All I had was God at 3 years old. That's all I had. Because it started at 3, and I used to ask, get on my knees and just cry to God and ask Him why. Why is people hurting me? Why am I going through what I'm going through? What did I do to deserve all of this pain and all of this hurt? And, you know, all He would ever say is, it's going to be all right. Don't hurt yourself. Don't kill yourself. I'm right here with you. And it's going to be all right. Celia, you got to let Goody out. Get up and let Goody out. Excuse me, people. I'm dog. And acting crazy and everything right now. But I have some scriptures that I want to read to you tonight, because this is Celia. Jimmy, I'm gonna mute you for one moment.
Get out of here, girl. Get out of here.
So like I said, people, the title of this show tonight is Confronting the Abuser. You know, this morning, you know, my auntie, my mom's sister, her and her husband raped me when I was about maybe 5 or 6 years old. Her and her husband raped me. And what they would do, they would call, they would take me over there. My mom would take me over there, and she would let her husband have sex with me while she watched. And she'd get in the bed with us naked and all of that stuff. So my auntie was one of my abusers. And it came to me today. I never confronted her. I never confronted her about, you know, I had like two aunties. All my aunties abused me some kind of way. One of my aunties, my mama's sister, she physically abused me. She would beat you and get a frying pot or whatever she could find and hit you. And then the other two aunties I had, they had their boyfriends to sexually abuse me. But it came to me today that it's time for me to confront my auntie. It's time for me. I don't think she remember. I don't think she believed that I remember what her and her husband did to me. But I remember. And tomorrow at 12 o'clock noon, I'm going to confront her and I'm going to ask her, why did you and your husband sexually abuse me when I was a little girl? And I want to see what she's going to say, and I want to see her response. Okay? So this, I'm going to confront her tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It's time for us to start confronting the people that hurt us, people. We can no longer pretend, and we can no longer protect them from their wicked and evil that they did to us as children. They are mean people, they evil, they nasty, and they need to be dealt with. And God the Father told me today, it's time for you to confront her. Because I don't want her to leave this world, you know, not thinking that you don't remember what her and her husband did to you. So it's time for you to confront her, because she need a conscience. She need to pay for what she did to you as a child. Okay? And I think I can vaguely remember, people. I can vaguely remember that I told my mom. This happened when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And my mom went to her house, because what she would do, her and her husband, when they get through molesting me, she would always give me $5 or something like that, $2 or $3, just so I could feel happy about, you know, I can get my mind off of what happened, and I can go to the store and get me some candy and some cookies or something like that. But I think I remember telling my mom that I didn't want to go over there, because my mom would always drop me off over there because she wanted to go drink. She would always drop me at my auntie's house. But I think one day I told my mom what happened. I don't want to go there because she heard her husband keep raping me and doing things to me. And I think my mom confronted her one day. And I'm going to ask my mom. Once I bring it up to her tomorrow, I'm going to call my mom and ask my mom, do she remember me telling her that her sister and her husband was molesting me? So, yes, it was some people in the group today on Facebook saying that it was time for them to confront people, and it was time for them to, you know, let it out the closet, what had happened to them as children. So, yes, I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. It is time to confront them for what they did to us, okay, as children. They destroyed our lives. They destroy who we are. They destroy everything about us that we supposed to have so good and precious in our life. They took it from us. Our integrity, our strength, they took a lot from us as children. okay? So, I want to talk about today in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17. Yes, at 30 years old, I met God, and he changed my whole life. He made me feel so much better. I went to a therapist for about a month. You know, they talk to you. This all happened in the midst of me being 29, 30 years old. I just couldn't take no more. You know, living with a husband that was abusive at that age. You know, he was abusive. I was married to him. So, you know, I just couldn't take no more abuse. I was just so tired. And, you know, I was in therapy for like 1 month. And the therapy, what she did, she would sit me down and talk to me and ask me questions. And when did it start and what happened and how did you feel? And that's the kind of stuff they ask you. And all that do is really bring up a lot of memories and a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. And you start crying a lot and all that. And crying is good. Crying is always good. Crying is always good to relieve yourself of the pain and the hurt and the stress and the misery. Crying is good. But you have to have more than crying. You have to have God. You have to have God to take away the pain and the trauma and the wounds and the scars of you being molested or you being raped or you being kidnapped or you being neglected, you know, by your parents, going hungry, starving to death, whatever way they neglected you, okay? You need God to help you, people. And that's why we still have so much abuse in this world today, so much pain where people been abused and they don't know how to deal with it. And some people can't deal with it. They just end up killing themselves, dropping off a bridge and taking their life. Okay, I'm telling you today on this show, CEA, 12 Step, Spiritual Base Platform, that you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 18:15. We just got a few little scriptures we can read. And I'm going to go over the 12 steps with you. Matthew 18. And we'll just read 5 or 6 steps today. I don't know. We have enough time. We'll go through them. Matthew 18. There's some evil people in this world, people. There's some evil people in our family members. They're real easy, evil. They did a trail cousins. And, you know, they raped me and molested me when I was a child. Okay? Yes, we have a lot of wicked people in our family. And we need, and both of them, two male cousins, they dead right now. Both of them died very young. I think one of them died, he was in his 30s, late 30s. I think the other one died in his late 40s, about 40, something like that, in his 40s. So both of them molested me. Both of them are my auntie kids. I told you it was a lot of incest in my family, and it still is today. And you know what? It's amazing to me how all of my cousins, my brother, and my sisters, they would not come forward about their childhood abuse. They still want to hide and act like nothing happened to them. And, you know, they okay. But, you know, not me. I want to be totally free. And I cannot protect my abusers anymore. So this is what God did for me. He came in my life. He made me strong. He took away a lot of the pain and the hurt and the scars and the wounds and, you know, just healed me and comforted me and put so much love there. And, you know, it just when that happened, my whole life just changed. I began to look at the world different. I began to look at myself different. I began to look at people different. And I was able to, this happened when I was 30 years old. After I realized that the therapy couldn't help me. While I sit up there and listen to her for a whole month talking to me and making me cry. But every time I left her office, I still felt suicidal. So, no, therapy is okay just to talk. But you need somebody way powerful than the therapy. And that would be God. That would be God the Father. Okay? So you need to make him a part of your recovery. Because only he can heal you. And only he can recover you from all that pain. Matthew 18, verse 15. The title of this show today is Confronting the Abuser. That's what we got to do. We're not holding it no more. We're not going to get on the phone and talk to them like they ain't never did anything wrong to us. And we know deep down in our soul, in our heart, that these people molested us. If these people abused us, they neglected us, they beat on us. Okay? We cannot protect them any longer. They have to be revealed for the people that they are. So when they leave this world, they die and leave this world. And that's why he want me to confront my auntie tomorrow. He told me my auntie, she need to realize what she done was wrong, and that when she leave this world, she gonna be dealt with for that. And if she don't talk to me about it and ask me to forgive her and her husband dead right now. And guess what? He died a horrible death. He died a horrible death. Okay? I had both of my cousins, both of them died of cancer. It was kind of horrible death. Her husband that raped me when I was 5 or 6 years old, he died of prostate cancer, and he suffered real, real bad. Okay? But you know, he didn't never want to do it. He didn't want to abuse me. Because I can remember when I was a little girl that one day after, you know, before they was getting ready to have an orgy with me, her and her husband and my auntie, that he began to cry and say, "I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this to this little girl. This is not right. This is wrong." But he said, I asked him, "Well, why are you doing it? Why are you doing this to me if you don't want to do it?" That's what I asked him. He said, "Because your auntie Ball is her name. It's making me do it." I remember the man yelling and crying in tears. And she made him do that because she was sick. She was sick, and she's still sick today. She's still sick. Okay, so it's time for her to get a conscience now. She's 70 years old, I think. It's time for her to get a conscience about what she did to her own little niece. So when she leaves this world, God can deal with her. Okay, he can deal with her. Now, Matthew 18:15. I'm going to try to read the 12 steps. Tonight we're going to always run out of time. I'm going to try. Matthew 18:15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him." This is what I got to do. This is what you got to do. You have to confront your abuser. I don't care who it is, people. It could be your mom. I confronted my mom years ago. And I told her, "Yeah, I remember when you let that man rape me at 7 years old and he gave me $7. I remember that. You thought I forgot? You thought I forgot that you did that to me? You thought I forgot that you took me over to people's house and babysitter houses and they raped me and you kept taking me over there even though I told you my grandma walked down so many years ago. And one day she just broke out crying in the car telling me how sorry she was and she was wrong and please forgive her for that. So that's the fires I got with my mom abusing me, okay? Because she was one of my major abusers because she took me to all the people's houses that hurted me. Even I told her not to because she wanted to go drink and party and do whatever she wanted to do. So right here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, we're going to always involve God in our recovery, people. We're going to always, I know a lot of y'all angry with God and you mad and you don't know why God let that happen to you. No, it's that people have their own free will and they make their own choices to rape people and molest people and beat people and mental and physical abuse people. They make their own choices and their own decisions to do that. God don't have nothing to do with that. He gives everybody free will to do whatever they want. But at the end of the day, he's gonna deal with these people when they leave this world. And that's why we got to confront our abusers now, whoever they are, because it's time for them to be dealt with by God, either now or when they leave this earth. So Russia trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault. Trespass means when somebody do you wrong. When somebody do you wrong, okay, whatever it is, somebody rape you, molest you, beat you, starve you to death, neglect you, you need to go to that person. This is what the Bible says. You need to tell him his faults. Tell them their faults, what they did wrong to you. What they did wrong to you. And ask them why did they do it. And this is what I'm going to ask my auntie tomorrow. Why you and your husband did that to me? You thought I wasn't going to never remember what you did? Why did you do it? I have to go to her. Cause I have she trespassed me as a child. And a lot of my abusers, they stay miles and miles and thousands of miles away from me because a lot of my abuse happened when I was living down south when I was a little girl. So I can't get to those people. They way, way away from me. But the ones that I can talk to and I have their phone number and I know how to get in touch with them, I am going to confront them because when you confront the people that hurt you, look what the Bible says. Tell him his fault between thee and him alone. See, tomorrow I'm going to confront my auntie on the phone, just me and her alone. And if he shall hear thee, if my auntie hear me tomorrow, or if your father or your mom or your uncle or your brother or your aunties, whoever hurt you and abused you, if they hear you, look what the Bible says. Thou hast gained thy brother. So if I talk to my auntie tomorrow, she said, yes, I did that to you, and I shouldn't have did that, and I'm sorry. And she started telling me why she did that and what made her do that. If she do that tomorrow, then I have gained her as my auntie. That means I have to forgive her for what she done to me as a child, raping me, her and her husband, okay? So this is how you handle that, okay? When it comes to God, the Father, you have to go to them, tell them what they did to you, and if they hear you and listen to you, they're going to apologize and they're going to tell you why they did that, why they, you know, they're going to go through details to why they did that to you, which is, it's no excuse why somebody rape a 3-year-old child or 5-year-old child or beat them or abuse them or molest them. It's no excuse for that. Only the person is wicked and evil. That's what it is. They evil. And somebody abused them and raped them and hurt them. So this is why I tell you, CEA, childhood emotional abuse, and other forms of abuse, it's a never-ending road. It's a never-ending road. because you've been abused. Her mama been abused. They daddy was abused, and it just go on and on and on and on. And that's why we need to confront now. We need to confront now, okay? We need to confront now, because by us confronting, that it would give the person a conscience, and you know, it would get rid of some of the incest that's in the family, okay? But if you don't confront them and you act like it, you know, then you try to erase it out your mind and forget it. These people still living. They still living off of your pain that they took you through as a child. Because they abusers. They live off people's pain. So you got to go to them and confront them. Look what Matthew 18:16 say. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Okay? So my honey don't hear me tomorrow, I got to take somebody, my mom or whoever I can get, as a witness. Because I think I remember that I told my mom that my auntie raped me, her and her husband. Okay? And I'm going to confront my mom and ask her too tomorrow after I talk to my auntie. So we have to take two or three witnesses to establish that whatever I'm going to them about, whatever trespass that they committed against you, you have a witness, okay? So, yeah. Verse 17, and if he or she shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church, okay? Tell it to God. But if he neglect to hear the church, which is God, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Okay? So, see what it say? If they try to ignore or pretend like they didn't rape you and they didn't do nothing to you, how can you remember that? You was too little to remember that. You was too young to know that. You don't know what you're talking about. That's a lie. See, they try to pretend and act like ain't nothing happened and they didn't do nothing wrong. God said they are a heathen man or a heathen woman. And you know what he's going to do? When they leave this world, he's going to deal with them as heathens. As heathens. So that's why it's so important to confront your abuse. Okay? Psalms 11:5, and I know I'm probably running out of time. I think I'm just going to read one more Psalms, and that'll be it. And we're just going to go over the 12 steps together. Yes, I am a counselor. I'm a spiritual counselor. I'm a guidance counselor. Okay, I'm a therapist. I'm a healer. I have healed so many people that's been through childhood abuse. So many. Mental ill people. People that were suicidal. People that were homosexuals that, you know, wanted to destroy their life because they was gay and they didn't want to be gay. People that was been neglected by their parents and beat on by their parents and, you know, by other people mistreated. I've been in the presence of so many people that have a lot of issues with abuse, childhood abuse, and emotional abuse. Okay? Emotional abuse deal with the emotions and it destroy you. It destroy the way you think, the way you feel, the way you do things, the way you operate. When you become an adult, even when you're a child, okay, it destroys you. It's a very, very bad form of abuse. And it attacks every part of the emotion, every part. So let's look at Psalms 11, verse 5. I'm going to call him by his real name, which is a Hebrew name. I don't deal with Lord because I don't know who that is. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, my God, he have a name, and his name is Ahiah. Ahiah tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that love violence, his soul hate. See, he tried the righteous, but the wicked and all them people that molest me and rape me and you and beat on you and kidnap you and neglected you and abused you, they are considered as wicked people. They wicked. They are wicked. They evil. They not right. They not good. And right now today, these people try to act like they never did nothing wrong. They wicked. But the wicked and him that love violence, his soul hate. So God the Father, the Creator, he hates wicked people. Hate wicked people that hurt other people, that molest and abuse kids and kidnap kids, starve kids. Love children. God loves children so much. He loves children. And for some wicked man or woman in your family, your mom, your dad, your cousins, your auntie, your niece, your friends, your neighbors, some wicked person in your environment or your surroundings did something to hurt you, God hates violence. And he hates wicked people. His soul hates these kind of people. And that's why I say again, people, we have to confront the abusers now. So our God and our Father can deal with these wicked people that hurt us when we was children. They hurt us. They destroyed us. My life was destroyed, people. My life was destroyed as a young woman growing up. As a teenager growing up, I was destroyed. I was destroyed, man. I felt like killing myself. I felt like I was dead. I felt, when I even think back, when I was 10, 11, 9, 8, 13 years old, I just began to cry. And you know that abuse, that child molestation, verbal and physical, led me to an emotional abuse. It led me to a life of prostitution. When I turned 13 years old, I became a prostitute up until the age that was like got me as a child. So this is a behavior that she taught me. And when I became 13, I began to, again, act out of my abuse and act out of that behavior. And then my life was full. I started drinking alcohol when I was 5 years old, I began to drink alcohol. Why? Because my mom was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. Okay? And that's all I had to make me feel like I could survive. Because without the weed and without the alcohol at 6, 7 years old, I probably would have committed suicide, people. I probably would have committed suicide. I don't think I would have been able to deal with the pain. Okay? So, yeah, I started drinking and smoking alcohol at 6, 7 years old. Prostitution at 13 years old for many, 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 many years. Okay? So all of this emotional trauma that I went through, it destroyed my life and who I supposed to have been. It destroyed me. So let's read Psalms 11, verse 5. Okay, yeah, I just read that. He hates wicked people. He hates wicked people. You've got so many people killing their kids and raping their kids and so many people commit suicide. All kind of things is going on in this world because therapy ain't helping people. I'm going to tell you, people, you know how many people been to therapy and they still raping and molesting little kids, little girls and little boys. You know how many people been to therapy and they still abusing their kids and neglecting their kids. You know how many people been through therapy? Husbands still beating on their wives, physical abusing their wives. Therapy is okay to talk about it. And that's it. But to say that you're going to be completely free and delivered and healed from that pain and torment and torture, you got to have God. You got to have God. And that's the bottom line. That is, and this is where this 12-step spiritual-based program came in, okay? Because I used to be a pastor at 40. You know, I know I've pastored a Christian church for many years. And you get a lot of abuse in religion, too. You got a lot of abuse in religion. People being forced to do things. They being taught things about God that's not true. All kind of lies, all kind of false teaching. You know. When you go to these churches, you're looking for love. You're looking for a family, a spiritual family, or somebody you could talk to. But you never find that at no church. I used to be a pastor for about 20 years. I know. You never find that at any church. Not no real people that love God and that love one another. All of that stuff that they do is just 100% fake. Okay? These are wicked people. These are wicked people. Okay? And I'm so glad that I'm not a pastor no more. And I was so glad when I got free from that. Okay? So I witnessed that too in religion. I was abused in religion by people, members of churches, pastors. Different people abuse me in religion. So you can be abused and misused in all kind of ways, okay? And that's what's going on. So we got abuse on top of abuse. Wherever you go, you're being abused and mistreated. This is the kind of world we're living in. This is the kind of people we're dealing with in this world. They're very, very wicked, and they're full of violence. Full of violence, and they want to hurt somebody. They want to hurt somebody and rape somebody and destroy somebody's life because they destroy. They destroy. And they never did get God to help them. Okay, they probably went to therapy, but therapy can't help you. I'm telling you, it's just good to talk to a therapist. But that's all you're going to get out of that and some medication. Verse Psalms, I'm going to read one more, and then we're going to go into the 12-step program. We're going to go into the 12 steps, and I'm going to have a few announcements, and I'm going to say goodnight to you. But I had to come on this week because I've been off for 2 weeks, and I said I'm going to come on because I wanted to talk to you guys about confronting your abusers because that's what I got to do tomorrow. Psalms 5, verse 5. I don't care if I hurt her and make her feel nervous and crying and upset. She might have a heart attack. Oh, yeah. I was having one when you and your husband was having sex with me at 5 years old. What you think I was having? And, you know, it might. I don't know if she's going to. I don't know what she's going to say. Tomorrow, and I don't know next week. I can't, okay? But yes, confront your abusers. It's most definitely time. The God of the Hebrews, the real God, wants us to do that. Verse 4, but thou art not a God that have pleasure in wickedness. So don't blame God for your abuse, people, because he don't have no pleasure in wickedness. He hates wicked people. Didn't I just read that to you in Psalms 11, verse 5? His soul hates wicked people. He hates child molesters. He didn't tell that man to molest you. He didn't tell your daddy to do that. Yeah, he could stop him. He could have stopped him. He could stop anything he wanted to stop because he's God. He's in control. But no. He's going to let it happen because these people, that's wicked and doing things like that, they're going to pay for their wickedness. He always pay you back. He rather you go ahead and make your choice and make your own little decision, but you're going to pay. You're going to pay a very, very great price for raping that three-year-old little girl, raping that three-year-old little boy, okay, beating on that child, killing your kids, making your kids starve to death, beating on your wife, beating on your husband. You're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that. Believe me. Believe me. And my husband, he's dead right now. He abused me for 25 years, and he never apologized. You know what? When he was sick, you know what? And if I don't have time for the 12 steps, I have to do it next week. Because I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk to you about confronting the abuse, okay, and what we need to do right now to bring some closure, to bring some understanding and some peace within our own selves. Because we've been going through this horrible nightmares and memories and pains for so many years because we want to continue to protect the abuser. So when we confront them, it's going to lift that off of us, people. It's going to lift that pain. It's going to lift that fear. It's going to lift that torment. When you confront your abuser, you're going to feel so much better. You're going to feel so much better. You could talk to the therapist all you want, but without confronting the abuser, you really don't get too far. For thou art not a God that have pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So these people that molest kids, rape kids, neglect kids, beat on kids, you know, even grown people abuse people, they beat wives, they neglect their wives, they don't love their wives, you know, they reject their wives, you know, they emotionally abuse their wives, and some wives emotionally abuse their husbands. But this is considered as a wicked person, and you will not dwell in the presence of the Creator, God. So if you can't dwell, look what he said. For thou art not a God that have pleasure in wickedness. So every time somebody hurt you, abused you, molested you, he didn't have no pleasure in that. He didn't have nothing to do with that, okay? Neither shall evil dwell with thee. These people are not going to, they're not going to be with him. When they die and leave this world, they're going to hell. That's where they're going. And that's why we need to confront them and give them a conscience to let them know that we know what y'all did to us as children. Now, when you die and leave this world, you will not be dwelling with the Creator, the Father, God the Father. You're going to go right with your daddy, the devil, okay, your father. One more verse, and I'm going to make a couple announcements. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. See, they foolish people. Who would want to molest their own child? Who would want to rape their own kids? Who would want to starve their own kids to death and neglect them? No, the refrigerator closed. You can't get nothing else to eat tonight. You're not allowed to go in the refrigerator. You thirsty, but you're not allowed to go in the refrigerator. Once they give you a little bit of plate of food, they give you a little bit of water when you get out of school. Some of them put locks on the refrigerator so you can't get them. Okay? You know? So yes, they do all of that. You hungry, you know, you didn't get enough food, but they're only gonna give you what they feel you need, and they're not gonna give you what you feel you need as a child. So they starve you to death, they rape you, they beat on you, they neglect you, they criticize you and call you all kind of names and all kind of stuff. foolish should not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all the workers of iniquity. So all the people that abuse other people and abuse themselves, God hate these people. God hate these people, and they will not dwell in his sight. They are workers of iniquity. They sinners, they wicked, and they evil. Okay, I have an article that I want to read and share with you. I think instead of going through the 12 steps with you, I am going to read this article, okay? How much time we have? No, we have a little bit. And it says, this article is from Psychological Today. If you are in an emotional, abusive relationship, it's difficult. And it's talking about confronting your abusers. That's what this article is talking about. Confronting. Feeling like it's talking about confronting an emotional abuser. So emotional abuser is a person that plays mind games on you. Like my mom, she was a narcissist. She played a lot of mind games on her kids. Okay? She always did things to hurt me and my sister and brothers' emotions. Talked about us, told us we weren't going to never be nothing. We ain't going to never be nothing. We ain't going to never amount to nothing. We bitches. We hoes. All the words she used to use when we was growing up as teenagers. You bitches, you hoes, even as children. She called us all kind of names and said all kind of nasty and mean things to us. So she destroyed us emotionally. She gave us personality disorder growing up. Okay, I had a lot of anger in me. I had a lot of fear in me. A lot of fear. I had a lot of shy. I was real shy and really always quiet to my own self. All of that come from my mom emotionally abusing me as a child. Okay? Shy, and I was scared to be around people. I felt so ashamed. I felt so embarrassed. You know, I felt so nasty. And, you know, I was just destroyed, full of anger, full of hurt, full of bitterness. A lot of rejection was in my life, a lot of guilt, a lot of pain. So all of this comes from emotional abuse. When you've been mind game, called all kinds of names. I think in the group today on Facebook, there was someone posted that their dad, I think it was their dad, and she said she wanted to confront her dad because she can no longer live with the pain that she is feeling. She have children right now. She can no longer live with the pain that her dad caused her as a young, as a little girl growing up, and she's ready to confront him because he emotionally abused her, because he used to always talk about her. Nothing was never good enough for him when it came to her. You know, he never complimented her. It's the same thing my mom was saying. Now, parents. These parents are narcissists. And they're abusers. Okay? So this article is talking about confronting an emotional abuse. Somebody when you was growing up that made you feel bad. If it made you feel like you wasn't good or you wasn't good enough and you were never, you know, you was nothing but a filthy rag, you're a bitch, you're a hoe, you're a dog. They treated you like a dog. And we're going into overtime now. And I think I read on the news today, and I can only talk till they cut me off. And I think I read on the news today that it was this little boy, he was like, I think he was 12 years old, and the grandma and the auntie, they beat him They abuse this little boy so bad. So bad. And then they called the cousin, a 14-year-old cousin. They was beating him. They was just beating him because they say he wasn't none but crap. He wasn't none but shit, and he don't deserve to live, and he ain't none but. And they called the other cousin over 14 years old, and they began to beat this little boy, and they beat him. The auntie, the grandma, and the cousin. They beat the little boy to death until he died. CDI, can you get up now? Cook, please. And they beat him to death until he died. So, it say, if you are in an emotional abusive relationship, it's difficult but not impossible for you to reclaim your personal power. Of course, doing so would be confrontational to the person who is so aggressively trying to rob you of it. While you may simply remove yourself from the relationship and avoid confrontation altogether, if it's a parent, sibling, or spouse, you will likely want to make an attempt at changing the relationship first. We're in overtime, and I don't know when they're going to cut me off. And I'm going to try to read this.
Could you please fix my food. Cook the food now, please.
Excuse me, people. And they're going to cut me off. And we'll be here next week. We'll be here next week at the Peace Central. This is CEA Childhood Emotional Abuse, 12-Step Spiritual-Based Counseling and Healing Platform. This is Sister Radio Talk Show. We are your hosts, okay? And my name is Elisha. So, yes, confronting the abuser. Okay, the article says, an emotional shield is a person who can support you while you are confronting your abuser. It should be someone who pledges beforehand to act as a buffer between you and your abuser if you start getting trouble. Jill decided it was finally time to confront her father. She dreaded the thought of doing it. She was so afraid to confront her father, abuser. But he continued to criticize every decision she made. When people criticize you a lot and they ain't got nothing never good to say about you and what you doing and how you making them feel, they ain't never got nothing. These people are abusers. They are abusers and they toxic. They toxic people, and it's not good to be in a relationship with these kind of people that don't never have nothing good to say to you, only bad things. They always look at your bad, and they never look at nothing nice and good that you are trying to do. And these people, they've been emotionally abused. A lot. They got to do it to other people. Excuse me. So Jill's dad, he always criticized her. Every decision she made. She was married and had lived on his roof for years. So she wasn't even living with her dad. She was married and her dad was still emotionally abusing her. But Jill's husband agreed to go along even though he at first insisted it was a family issue between Jill and her father. But he, too, was becoming tired of his father-in-law disruptive comments about Jill. Free to meet at a local restaurant. So whenever you get ready to confront your abuser, if you can, it's good to meet with them with someone with you to be a witness. Because I read to you in Matthew 18 that we need to have a witness. Okay, if you go to these people and they don't want to hear, it's always good to have a witness. They agreed to meet at a local restaurant. Jill knew her father would have to listen to her without yelling or risk public embarrassment, of course. So usually when Gio try to talk to her, talk to her dad, he always holler at her, and he always make her feel bad, and he always send bad things to her, and nothing never good. She just could not talk to her dad about nothing. He will always shut her down and make her feel bad. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a nice man to me. He never raped me. He never touched me in no kind of way. But he was just an alcoholic. And I didn't spend a lot of time with my dad growing up. My mom raised me when she was home. She was never home. I had to raise myself. So, yeah. Okay, of course he could always walk out once he had heard what she had to say. But they was in a public restaurant. But that was a risk she was willing to take since she did really want to cut all ties. She didn't really want to cut all ties with him. This seemed the only way to deal with the problem. So Jill was like, you know what? I got to confront my dad about all this emotional pain and trauma that he have brought in my life. And because I don't want to cut ties with him. I would love for my dad to still be a part of my life. I want to forgive him, but I want my dad to confess and admit to all the bad things that he did to me when it comes to emotional abuse. So she wanted to confront her dad and ask him why did he talk to her and treat her the way he treated her growing up as a child. Okay? Okay, it seems like the right thing. Dad. This is what Jill told her. They at the restaurant. Her husband is there. They sitting down together. She ready to confront him about him emotionally abusing her as a child. She said, Dad, Jill began after they had ordered the food. You know I love you. This is what she told her dad. Even though he abused her as a child, she still had love in her heart for her dad. And I'm the same way. I love my mom. Even though she hurt me, she neglected me, she abused me, she took me to people's house who raped me and did me wrong, I still love her today. I still love her today, okay? But like I said, she did admit to what she did when she let the man rape me and he gave her. So she said, I love you, Dad. It was her father's turn to be uncomfortable. He shifted his seat and glanced at Paul. Sure, honey, he said quietly. But, Dad, I come to a decision about things. I just hope you understand. He looked puzzled and didn't respond. So her dad is trying to figure out, what is it Jill getting ready to say to me? I'm pretty sure he was starting to get a conscience about the way he treated her as a child. All my life, look what Jill told her dad. All my life, Jill continued, it has seemed to be that you were never happy with anything I did. My mom is the same way today she was back then. She was never happy with nothing that her kids did. She never complimented us. She never said, oh, y'all some good kids and I love y'all. Oh, she never said she loved us. Never. Still don't today. Why? Because she was abused and she was mistreated by her mom and her dad. I told you it's a never-ending cycle. And, you know, I went back to school and got my high school. You know, because when I was young growing up, I couldn't finish school because I was being bullied in school. I was being talked about in school. And I didn't feel safe in school because kids always wanted to fight me. And they made me feel so, so miserable going to school. So I ended up dropping out of school when I was in the ninth grade. I was about 14. But I always wanted to get my high school diploma, and I always wanted to finish school. Because I'm the kind of person, I like to use my mind, and I like to learn. But I couldn't finish because kids was humiliating me and torturing me so very bad. So I got my high school diploma. I went back about a year ago, and I got my high school diploma. And my mom didn't say nothing. All she said, oh, yeah, but she didn't say, that's good, honey. I'm proud of you. You know, I fought you so hard growing up as a teenager to finish school. She didn't bring none of that up. She didn't bring none of that up. She didn't say, oh, that's good, honey. I'm proud of you. You finally got your high school diploma. None of that. So these people, they are abusers, and we got to confront them. And I got to confront my mom with more stuff, because she still want to pretend and act like I don't remember nothing. I was too little, but I remember just about everything that happened to me as a child. So I got to keep confronting her about more things, like Jill is confronting her dad. And at this point, he tried to interrupt to deny what she was saying, but Jill persisted. See, that's what they do. When you confront them, they try to get on another subject. My mom do it all the time, all the time. And probably when I confront my auntie tomorrow, she's going to try to get on another subject, and I'm not going to let her. My mom do it all the time. And I'm not going to let her do it either no more. I'm going to say, no, you shut up and be quiet and listen to me. Because I told her just recently, you ain't going to be able to go to your grave in peace knowing that you did all the things that you did to your kids and you won't talk to us about it. I told her that just recently. So please, Dad, she said, let me finish. My grades was never good enough in school. You didn't like my clothes. I wore the friends. I made always wanted to approve of me. But every time we talk, there always seems to be something I should be doing that I haven't, or something I did that I shouldn't have done. I spent my whole life wanting you. Someone just wants to listen to what I had to say or watch what I was doing without bringing up everything you thought was wrong. See, this is people that like to abuse you emotionally because they've been emotionally traumatized. These people, when you try to talk to them and they bring up all the bad things about you and what you did wrong and how you did it wrong, these people are very, very sick. These are the kind of people, they're not ready to deal with the fact that they've been abused. That they've been abused and they've been mistreated. Okay, they like to blame. They like to blame and point the finger to everybody else and not admit things. They like to keep things stole up under the rug. So she asked Dad, you always criticize me. You never had nothing good to say about my life and what I did, you know, about my grades in school. It doesn't matter how many A's you get in school and B's. These people is never going to look at what you have accomplished. What you have accomplished. Because they are trying to make your life miserable. Because their life was miserable growing up. And it's still miserable today. Look what he said. Why are you saying this? Her father stated. With a Haitian face and embarrassed. You know, because Jill, you know what? Jill is embarrassing him now. See, the shoe is on the other foot. When she was a little girl growing up, a teenager, he always embarrassed her and humiliated her in front of her friends and different people. Now they're in a restaurant, she embarrassing him. If I thought you were doing wrong, it was my job as a parent to say so. What was I supposed to do? Let you go off and do something stupid and get hurt? I would be a very good parent. I would be a very good parent if I did that. But Dad, Jill said, taking a deep breath, because you know what? Jill got so much hurt, so much pain, so much torture and memories of all the things that her dad did to hurt her. She's so afraid You know, and we're afraid of our abusers. We're afraid to confront them because these people that abused us and hurt us, they had some kind of control and power and manipulation over us. And that's why sometimes we just go on with our life and just pretend like nothing happened, and we still be let these people be a part of our life, and we never confront them because we are afraid of them. Well, Jill said, well, did you ever think it was because something was wrong? You pulled so pretty crazy stunts growing up. Could you think of it? This is a pretty crazy stunt. Is this what you brought me here to tell me? Look what that's saying. Is this what you brought me here to tell me, that I'm a bad father? His voice had increased to a level just before shouting. Jill's eyes were beginning to flood with tears. Paul, her husband, decided that now was the time to speak. Now that had it all on him. Look, Bob, he began. Nobody saying her husband began to speak up for his wife. Look, Bob, he began. Nobody said you were a bad father. All Jill is asking you is to do is to think about how you treated her then and how you treated her now. I think this is between you. My daughter and me. Look what the dad is. You say, this is me and my daughter. She's your daughter, but she's my wife and a mother herself. This affects all of us. We're just asking you, we're just asking that you think about how to speak to her and treated her. Dad, look, Jill talking. Dad, I'm not saying you meant to be mean or cruel. All I know is how you, I still desperately want you to approve of me, but I can't spend the rest of my life trying to get someone you never go to, you're never to deal. No one spoke for a moment while their dinner was brought to the table slowly. Her father began again to give a quieter tone. I was always so worried, he said, that you hurt yourself and that you would be, that it would be my fault, that I didn't teach you well enough how to ride a bike or climb a tree, that I didn't give you the skills you needed to choose your friends or stay out of trouble. Never wanted to get you hurt, but I did get hurt, Dad, Jill told him softly. You hurt me. Paul just let his wife and her father talk. He didn't really have to say more. He just had to be there as Jill's father tried to understand how she saw things that had happened in the past. Paul was able to provide examples he had seen in the time they had became married, but mostly he just moved into the background, asserting himself only when the conversation seemed to be still on balance. There's other ways. I'm going to leave it right there, okay? And I'm going to say good night to you, and I thank you. I thank you. We'll be here again next Tuesday. We'd like to go to the website. The website is www.childhoodemotionalabuse.com. Childhoodemotionalabuse.com. You can give a donation to help us to bring more awareness, to reach out to more people that's been abused and hurt. Children, they need a lot of help. You know, I would love to go into all kind of places like doctor's office, nursing homes. We get a lot of abuse in nursing homes, you know, where the elderly people need someone to go in and talk to them and pray with them about what's going on in the nursing home. You get a lot of abuse in jail. And by me being a pastor and having license, I'm a licensed ordained pastor. I used to be, but I still have my license. I can go into the jails, into the prisons, and I can talk to the inmates about abuse in the jails and abuse, you know, when they, you know, abuse before they even came to jail. So I would like to reach out to the world and try to help to bring some closure and some understanding about CEA, childhood emotional abuse, and other forms of abuse. So I need your help. I need your support. You might need someone here to come and, you know, let's build this platform as big as we can and get as many people as we can on this platform so we can begin the healing process of the 12-step program, okay? Because I guarantee you, if you go through the 12-step program with me, you will immediately begin to feel some relief, some healing, and some recovery from your pain. So go to the website, make a donation, www.childhoodemotionalabuse.com. We're here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central. Go to the website. We have some information on there that you can read and go through and see if you really want to be a part of this great awakening and this great healing of abuse. Okay, so with that, I'm going to just say good night to you. Good night to you, and I'm glad that I was able to come before you tonight and talk about some things that I need to do, that I'm getting ready to do, and that I went through in my life, and how God the Father helped me to recover and see a better outlook of life, of who I am and who I am. Right? I love people. I love everybody, even though I had so many people that hurt me when I was a child growing up and a teenager and a young woman. I love people. I love people. And that's why I want to help them. I want to help them. And I know only God can really, truly heal you from anything that you are going through. You have a good night. I will talk to you next. You have been listening to CEA, Childhood Emotional Abuse, 12-Step Counseling, Healing Platform. We will talk to you later. Good night. My prayers are with you. My prayers are with all the victims. All the victims, all the survivors of childhood abuse. Good night, people. Thank you. Thank you. We'll see.